Joining us now is another longtime Drive Hall of Famer. She's been with CNN since 2006, previously serving as the senior White House correspondent and lead reporter on the 2016 Hillary Clinton campaign. She's back with her own show, anchoring CNN Right Now, weekdays 10 a.m. on CNN. And right now, she's joining us on The Drive. It's Brianna Keeler. Brianna, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
So let's start with the new show Right Now, premiered last week. So how did the opportunity come about, and generally what can viewers expect from the show?
I've been at CNN, I can't believe it now, for 13 years, which is so long, but I've had a lot of different jobs there, and so now it's kind of this natural development culminating from, you know, covering the White House and covering The Hill and covering a campaign and traveling around the world covering President Obama, and now I get to take all of those experiences and let it inform my anchoring. But basically, the name says it all, which is Right Now. We kind of are just rebooting the news of the day. And also, we're on from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern, which tends to be a pretty busy hour.
Right.
So sometimes we can produce an entire show, and then it just gets blown out of the water by news, which is what happened yesterday with the president's letter supporting Saudi Arabia. And it's just, you know, it's a focus for us. One of our big focuses is on newsmakers. I really enjoy doing interviews with members of Congress and really trying to get past the talking points and dissecting sort of what they're saying and really trying to get just away from stuff that is canned. And that's one of our big focuses.
Now, how does the role change for you in moving from more of a correspondent to an anchor? And do you get to be more hands-on in the news you're covering and the stories you're spotlighting on a daily basis?
Well, I've been in this somewhat unique position of filling in anchoring for so many years,
right,
and really getting to know everyone's show team, you know, whether it's Brooke Baldwin's show team or it's Poppy Harlow's show team or Kate Baldwin's show team or Wolf Blitzer's show team. So I have, I've actually been able, they've given me a lot of freedom if there's something that interests me to, you know, put that in the show before. So I will say it is different when it's your show.
Right.
You know, I sort of say, especially now I'm a new mother, I have a 5-month-old, and I say, you don't hand this baby back at the end of the hour. This is your baby all the time, you know? So it's something that it's sort of constantly on my mind. I don't fill in and then I'm done.
Right. Now, you alluded to it before. It earned a reputation for, I'd say, kind of a tough but fair interview style, kind of getting politicians off their talking points and kind of to the heart of the issues. Do you think, kind of in the current political climate, that, you know, holding the politicians accountable for what they're saying is more important than ever?
I do think it's more important than ever. And also, I just think that things have changed, you know, even in the last couple years. They've changed because of President Trump, but they've also changed for people besides President Trump. And that is, you know, you can't just come on TV and say your talking points without needing to back that up with fact. So we try to get beyond that, which is really important. But I was also thinking today as I interviewed an outgoing Republican congressman from Florida who, you know, climate change issues are happening in his backyard. He doesn't have the luxury of denying the science. And he works on cannabis reform, you know, and these are things he's even going to be doing once he leaves Congress. And I thought about it, you know, I had a Republican contributor on who was saying that Democrats should not get rid of Pelosi, and he meant it sincerely because she's very effective is what he was saying. And I just thought, you know, people are very independent-minded, and even though it's important to get away from talking points, I also think we're in this time of people speaking their mind more on both sides of the aisle. You're seeing that with Democrats. You're seeing this new, more liberal, more progressive kind of millennial set coming up through Congress, and you're just seeing differences. And I actually think it's really refreshing and interesting.
Right. Now, looking at Washington this week, it's been an interesting couple of weeks for the president. I mean, going back to Paris, the trip to California this past weekend, the statement on Saudi Arabia, it seems like there's a new controversy popping up daily. How do you read the past couple of weeks of kind of upheaval in the White House?
in short, I read it as frustration on the part of the president, and that's based in the great reporting from our White House team. What they have discovered talking to sources close to the president is that he is so frustrated. And I think you can see it when you hear him talking recently. Mm-hmm. He's more frustrated, sources tell CNN, than he's been since the early days of the administration.
Wow.
And there's this kind of heads are going to roll feeling coming out of the midterm elections. But no, he's really not happy. And I think you're seeing that with all of these different stories. And I wonder if even that's contributing to some of his missteps, where maybe he doesn't have his eye on the ball, thinking, for instance, about not going to that cemetery where thousands of American war dead were laid to rest on his trip to France, which seemed like a no-brainer,
right.
And yet he didn't go, and it was really a problem for him.
Right, and to some degree, it's been surprising that Democrats haven't been more forceful in criticism of the president for things such as that when the different, I guess you call them gaffes, pop up. Is it almost like a case of whack-a-mole with controversies where there's too many popping up that they can't really have a unified message on one specific thing?
I think that's part of it, but I also think, you know, in the case of the not going to the cemetery for the visit, you know, Democrats, I think some of them definitely weighed in on it, but there was so much other criticism, mm-hmm. you know, and that was coming from people who really understand what that means. You heard that coming from generals. I had Secretary Chuck Hagel, who served as defense secretary under President Obama. But remember, he was a Republican senator from Nebraska before that, even though he worked in the Obama administration. And he was on the show last week. And, you know, he basically said that this was disrespectful. And he, it's important to note, was the and still remains the only enlisted combat vet who was ever a defense secretary.
Right.
So I think there's just been a lot of criticism coming from, you know, very relevant voices like that. And maybe that's part of it. The other thing is you're hearing some Democrats say that as they are going to come into power in the House in January, this question of are they going to impeach the president. We had Eleanor Holmes Norton, who is a very liberal member of Congress, actually my congresswoman here in Washington, D.C., and she said that he should not be impeached, that would be pointless because the Senate isn't going to take it up,
right.
But that there should be some investigations. And she urged caution, though. So that's I think, some discipline that we're seeing from Democrats. Mm-hmm. I wonder, though, if that's going to continue. I've been joking, you know, on this issue of are Democrats going to overreach? When's the last time you heard someone say, oh, they really underreached? It never happens.
Right.
There's always overreach.
Now, Democrats have a battle of their own brewing with some of the House members vowing to oppose Nancy Pelosi for speaker, though we're seeing some movement for that. How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I struggle to see a situation where Nancy Pelosi is not the Speaker of the House. You did have 16 Democrats, some of them current, some of them incoming, who said they would not vote for Nancy Pelosi. And their argument is something that we've been hearing now for years, which is they want some fresh blood in leadership for the Democratic Party. It's a criticism that I think is warranted. In some regards, it's important to grow the bench,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know that House Democrats have done that. That was also a problem. You know, President Obama didn't do that. So that was not just a problem when it came to Congress, but also looking at bringing potential stars up to run for president. But, you know, in the end, I just, Marsha Fudge, the Ohio congresswoman who was considering a run for speaker, has decided, you know what, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
And we actually saw one of the Dems who signed that letter, Brian Higgins of New York, he changed his mind today.
Right.
So, and Marsha Fudge has now endorsed Nancy Pelosi. So not that there isn't going to be some conflict and that it's still uncomfortable, but I think that things are trending in her direction.
Right. Now, the president reportedly finished his responses to Bob Mueller and has submitted them to the special counsel. Does that seem to indicate that we're reaching the light at the end of the tunnel as far as the special counsel investigation?
It could signal that we're moving toward the end, and that's because a lot of legal experts say they're not going to get responses from the president on the front end, right? They're going to gather a lot of information, and it just naturally would be that they would talk to the president. And not they're not talking to him, to be clear. These are written answers,
right.
But that they would have that information from the president more on the late side of the investigation. It's a huge development. It's taken, you know, the better part of a year of back and forth between the special counsel and the president's lawyers to get that rolling. And we're waiting to see, obviously, what's coming out of it. The president says that he's been told it's going to end. But I, even though that may be true, you know, he says that all the time.
Right.
You know, his lawyers have been telling him all the time. They were telling him this months and months ago. That
Thanksgiving of last year. Yeah.
That's right. So, you know, he says that even when it's not wrapping up. But I do think that perhaps we're getting closer to that point.
Right. Now, for you specifically, you covered the Obama White House closely as White House correspondent.
Yeah.
I mean, even the politics and policies aside, how dramatically different is it to cover this administration just from a news perspective?
Well, it's different for me. I'm not covering it from inside the White House.
Right.
But there are some differences. And, you know, the Trump administration will say, hey, we have more access. Now, I will grant them that there are many more opportunities to yell a question at President Trump and get an answer. President Obama so rarely took questions when he was heading to Marine One. And it's, you know, we really want to get as much insight as we can from the president. We get that insight through his tweets. It seems like it's pretty unfiltered. We know what his motivations are. That's unusual. You know, you really get this insight into kind of what's on his mind. On the other hand, you have a situation like what we saw with my colleague Jim Acosta, which now, you know, CNN has triumphed. Jim has his press pass back, but that's incredibly alarming. So on one hand, yeah, we're getting more questions, but just the idea that punitively people would be barred from the White House because the White House, you know, doesn't like how difficult their questions are and will actually go to the lengths of lying about what a person did to try to boot them out is, you know, that is extremely troubling and outweighs the additional access through questions. There's also just not a lot of White House briefings. You know, there's some access that's very important that we do not get.
Now, just to wrap up, one of the highlights from the 2016 campaign was your interview with Michael Cohen. At the time, Donald Trump ally over poll numbers. Is it weird now seeing him do a complete 180 and being such a central figure in the legal battle against President Trump?
It is so bizarre. And also, it's weird not seeing him on TV all the time.
Right.
You know, because he was so readily available and he was such a voice. And now, you know, part of it is President Trump really wanted to distance himself from Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen was his personal lawyer for a long time. And then, you know, it's sort of downplaying really what the role was. Well, we know that he was a central figure for President Trump. And, you know, it is so interesting. I think part of it is, you know, Michael Cohen, he's not feeling the love. He's toxic for, say, President Trump and those around him. So, you know, he's on the outs. And that gives him the liberty to speak more freely. He also, though, has a credibility issue himself as someone who made a career out of being the cleanup guy for President Trump.
Right. You can find her every weekday morning, 10 a.m. on CNN. CNN's Right Now. She is Breonna Keeler. Breonna, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Mike.